go back to Luke 18 now. Luke 18, this follows what we just looked at. Nearly everybody in here except our young people was here listening. After he said all that he did to the disciples, verse 31 says, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them," and began to tell them what things were going to happen to them. Now, everything our Lord said and did was purposed before the world began. There's nothing random. It's all written. It was all written. Nothing random. It's all purposed for him to do. He had a work to do. Everything down to the steps he took, where he went, who he found, what he said, everything he said was written in the book. And he came to accomplish everything that was purpose for him to do. He took these 12 men unto them, and it began again. He was telling them again the gospel. In these three verses, we're going to see the gospel, how Christ died for our sins, for the sins of his people, according to the scripture. That's the gospel. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, "I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, his sins of his people, according to the scriptures." That's what he's going to say. Okay? Now, none of these men knew him before he came for them. None of them sought him. None of them called on him. None of them believed him until he called them. It says he took unto him the 12. He came for these. That's what Wesley read. "For the transgression of my people was he stricken." And so Christ came for these men. He came calling. When he came calling, something happened. And this is what we were just dealing with. They were born again. 11 of the 12, you know, Judas was a son of perdition from the beginning. The Lord chose him to be the betrayer. But they were born again. And how you know they were born again is they left it. They left everything. That's what we just looked at. That's the miracle of the new birth. With man, it's impossible. It's impossible, but it's certain with God. That rich young ruler said, "A certain man." It's certain. And always, in every case, every person that's born again, the Lord accomplishes salvation in them. He accomplishes. He creates a new creature. They have a new heart. They wasn't there before. They love God. They love the things of God. They love the people of God. They love the truth. They didn't love it before. They hated it. Now they love the truth. They have a new two new desires. David said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after." It's there. It wasn't there before. Simon Peter and all of them, they didn't desire Christ. They weren't even looking for him. If they heard of him, no beauty that they should desire him. Well, they do now. They have new eyes. They see things differently now. They see unseen things. They have ears. They hear his voice. Many left Christ, walked no more with him, and he said to his disciples, "Will you go away?" He said, "To whom?" This is life. Your life. You're our life. They love nothing more than to sit and listen to his voice and follow him everywhere. Just follow him everywhere. They're so happy. Like a dog. Just like dogs follow their master. He was their master. It's still the same. Every one of God's people. He gave them a new language. A new language. They had a new family. New family. It happens to every single child of God whom he called. Every one of them. They will leave all to follow him. And in the end, they will not leave him. They will not leave him. They will not. They will keep coming. He calls, they keep coming. They'll keep calling. They'll keep seeking. They'll keep crying. They'll keep believing. They'll keep cleaving. They'll keep rejoicing in this gospel. It's just so. Do you still rejoice after all these years? Some of you have been here for a long time. It happens. It happens to all, like Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. That's why I put this in our bulletin this morning. It began, and Bunyan said, I saw a man, he had a book in his hand, which gave him a burden on his back. It made him heavy laden. With what? My sin. My sin, this burden called sin. And that, it wasn't there before. He was married with family and children and all that, and that was his life. But when the word came, it convicted him of his sin. It was like a heavy burden on his shoulders that he couldn't get rid of it. He was dressed in rags. He saw that, you know, I don't have a covering at all. It's filthy rags. He may have been religious, but when God through the word convicted him, he said, I'm dressed in rags. I got this burden on my back. I can't remove it. And he cried, what shall I do? And then God sent a preacher, the evangelist. And the evangelist said, see yon wicket gate? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. He said, go into that wicket gate. Go through that gate. See that gate? Go, don't look to the right, left. Don't to the left. Go straight to that gate and go through that gate. It'll be told you what to do. Well, he did. The same evangelist said, there's a cross on yonder hill. Look. He said, look. And the pilgrim went through that wicket gate. He did. But what he did was he left his home. He's leaving his home, his burden on his back, his book in his hand. He's leaving his home and all his family. His wife, his children, everybody are begging him to stay. And what does he do? He puts his fingers in his ears and crying out as he's running, life, life, eternal life. And he went on to say, his neighbors and friends and some people began to mock him and deride him and say, you're a fool and all that. Life, life, kept his eye on that. And he went through, John. They went straight, narrow way. The Lord caused him to find it. And he went through it. And he came to that hill. He said, I saw this place whereon was a cross. And at the foot of the cross was a tomb. And he said, when he got to the foot of that cross, that burden rolled off his back. And went down the hill and rolled into that tomb. And a stone covered it. And it was never seen again. His sins gone. At the foot of the cross. That happens to every single child of God. Christ crucified. Alright? So the Lord now tells them, you've left your family. You've left your home, like Pilgrim. You've left everything. And nobody and nothing could deter them from it. Why? Because God's in this. Because they're born of God. Now he's going to take them to the cross. Are you with me? Now he's going to take them to the cross. And this is why he came. And this is the purpose. It's a whole book. It's about a cross. Christ crucified. The whole book. It's about Christ crucified. The whole book. You know why we don't have a big crowd here? Because all we preach is Christ crucified. But you know who will come here? Those that need Christ crucified. Those that see all their riches, all their hope, all their salvation, all the wisdom of God, the power of God, the glory of God, all they need in Christ. That's what they want. And our Lord's going to show us in these three verses, all things are in Him. Who He is, why He came, what He did, who He did it for. And it's glorious. Three verses. I couldn't. Brother John came to visit me, John Davis. And I said, I couldn't get past these three verses. I hope you'll be glad we did. All right. Look at verse 31. It says, he took unto him the 12 and said unto him, behold, we go. Are you with me? These 12, the 12. He called them. They're his. He took unto him. He
called them unto himself. They came to him, okay? And he tells them, first thing, behold, we're going up. This is the will of God, that everyone that seeth the Son, believeth on him, might have everlasting life. And this, and Christ said, I will raise them up in the last day. You remember Exodus 3? God said, I have heard their affliction by their taskback. He said, I am come down to bring them out. To do what? To bring them up. We're going up. You know the way up? You know the way? This is a paradox. The way in is out. We go to him outside the camp. The way up is to be brought down. To be high, you got to be made low. To have everything, you got to be nothing. You got to lose everything. To have everything. To be rich, you got to be poor. To see, you got to be blind. Our Lord made that man hear one time. You know what he did? You know what he did? He stuck his fingers in his ears. He made him hear by sticking his fingers in his ear. Now, that won't work. It did the Bunyan's pilgrim. When he heard his voice, he didn't want to hear anything else. My dad completely lost his hearing the last day. Completely gone. No. My sheep hear my voice. He never quit calling him. He couldn't hear any more human voices. Doesn't need to. We're going up. And look at Mark 10. This same story is found in Mark chapter 10. Look at this. I love this. We've been through all four Gospels, some of them more than once. But I remember this so well. Mark 10. Look at it again. This is wonderful. Just wonderful. Verse 32. Mark 10, verse 32. It says, they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. Are you in the way? Are you? What's the way? Are you in Christ? If so, you're going up to New Jerusalem. Brother John, you're going to see it coming down. New Jerusalem out of heaven. Glory is the glory of God. If you're in Christ, the way. Read on. And Jesus went before them. He was always out in front of them. Wasn't he? Why? Because he's the captain of their salvation. He went before them. He faced Satan in the wilderness, didn't he? Before he called his disciples, he faced Satan for them. He faced the mob in the garden. Remember? Do you love that? He went out in front of them. They came. If it hadn't been for Christ, they'd have taken them all and crucified all of them. As it is, they were all crucified. He was person. But the mob came for him, and he went out before them, and here's what he said. You remember this? He said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, if you seek me, you got to let them go. You take me, and you can't have them. He went before them. He went before God's people to the cross. He went before us to the grave. And he came out. Nothing to fear. He went before us into heaven itself. That's where he sits right now, on the right hand of God. And he's coming back for us. And look at verse 32. It says, they were amazed. Isn't this a message? They were amazed. Amazing Lord. What an amazing Lord. What amazing grace. And it said, they followed. That's all a dog can do, isn't it? Follow. But they were afraid. They were afraid. That's us, isn't it? Fearful followers. Were we following? Were we following? Well, it says, he took them again. He took them again. Look at verse 32 there in Mark 10. He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. Now go back to Luke 18. Go back there. He took again. He took them again. He had already told them why he came, what he was going to do. They didn't understand it then. They don't understand it now. They don't fully understand it. And you know what? As many times as I've been preaching this, as many times as you've heard this, we don't either.
If we really understood, if we really knew what He'd do, we couldn't contain ourselves. You could not listen with a dry eye. You couldn't be silent. You'd be shouting, "Hallelujah, thank you, Lord." Realizing what He did. He took them again. I'm going to show you again. You remember when John sent word, John's in prison, and he sent the two disciples back and said, "Are you He that should come, or do we look for another?" John believed him. John preached him. But John needed confirmation again. He needed to be told again and again. Do you need to be told again and again and again the gospel? Do you need to hear the same things over and over again? That's what you do to your own children. You tell your children the same things over and over again. And our Lord sent back word. He said, "You go show John again." John, you want to hear this again? Who Christ is, why He came, what He did, where He is now. You want to hear it again? I thought you'd never ask. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And if people aren't sinners, they don't need to. People really don't love Christ, don't they? All right, now look at it. In verse 31, He took unto them the 12, and He said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." All things. Now, I showed this to somebody. Go to Luke 24. If you have Luke 24, if you have the same Bible that I have, the Cambridge, and many of you do, Luke 24, and keep that Luke 18 right there. Just fold it back. I want you to see something. All right, Luke 24. Now, if you look at Luke 24, verse 25 and 26, and 27. It's an exact spot in Luke 18, 30 and 31. It's the exact spot. It's the exact same thing. When it's all over, when Christ died and rose again, He began to preach. Luke 24, 25 said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter in His glory?" It's the same spot on the same part of the page. And He's telling them again. In the beginning, in the middle, in the end. He's telling them, this is it. This is why I came. This is what it's all about. All things. Did you see that? Maybe you weren't as... Brother Kelly, the translators didn't just say, "Oh, let's put that right there." No. Do you tell me, don't sometimes you can't remember where the scripture is because you know what side of the page it's on? Huh? I don't know where it is, but it's right there. Huh? And maybe that didn't impress you. It did me. The Lord had that written down right where He put it to show us the same things. In the beginning, He began to tell them in the beginning what He was going to do. He told them in the middle what He was going to do. And after He arose and preached to them, He told them what He did. He preached Christ. He preached Himself. All right, it says he all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. And in Luke 24, I've been looking forward to getting to that, so I'm not even going to wait. He began at the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and expounded unto them all things concerning Himself. All things must be fulfilled. To Him give all the prophets witness. The law and the prophets, all witness of Christ. They are they, Christ said, the scripture, which testify of Me. All things written. Genesis, He's the Creator. This is God our Creator. He's the light of the world. Entrance of Thy word giveth light. Who's that? Christ. Did you hear the radio message? Paul didn't see the light. It's not a thing to see. It's a person that shines on you. Christ, the light, shines in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Him. In Him. He's the light of the world. He's the woman's seed. Why is everything the way it is? Why are women like they are, men like they are, and the world like it is? It happened in the garden. And the whole answer to this whole mess is Genesis 3:15. The woman's seed. A virgin born son of man. Now he keeps calling himself the son of man. Why? Why? Because he was made of a woman, made under the law. Why? Can you quote the rest of it? To redeem them that run under the law. To be made flesh. And to be made sin. To be made a sacrifice for sin. To condemn sin in his flesh. He was made flesh. But not the seed of man. The seed of God. A woman's seed. He's the Passover lamb. Exodus. God said, when I see the blood, huh? What did Adam and Eve see? They saw a lamb slain. They were covered with that lamb's skin. God stripped the lamb naked to cover their nakedness, shed its blood. One died that they might live. They lived another 900 and some years. Why? Because that's Christ. What's the tree of life in the garden? What's the tree of life in the garden? You know what it is? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The tree of life is the cross which Christ hung upon. It's Him. He is the tree. The brazen serpent in Numbers. The brazen serpent. Look! Everybody's bitten. Look! That's why Christ came. He stood one day and said, look! Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. Everybody bitten. Everybody got a burden on your back. Look unto me. Who? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And all who look to Him, Christ crucified, burdens are lifted at Calvary. It was there by grace I received my sight, and the burden of my rolled away. I see Him. He's the scarlet line in the window for harlots. Didn't it? Tie that line in the window, harlot. I'm coming back for you. He's Joshua. He's a greater than Solomon. He's the provider of His people. He's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He laid down His life for His sheep. And on again. All things. He began to tell them what all things are about. It's about Him, written in the prophets, concerning the Son of Man. Now look at this. Look at our text. It says in verse 31, all things shall be accomplished. Accomplished. Now He had already taken them, three of them, up on the mount and transfigured. Remember? They saw light. Him. The light of God. Glory. And they saw two men talking with Him. Remember? Moses and Elijah. That's the law and the prophet. What were they talking about? You remember? You know what it said? It says they were talking about the death, the decease that He should accomplish. Accomplish. The gospel, the good news is that Christ accomplished salvation by Himself. He purged the sins of God's people. God, Isaiah said it long before He came. He said, you comfort ye my people. Comfort ye, speak ye comfortably to them. Tell them the warfare is what? Accomplished. That Christ, the captain of the salvation of God's people, is coming and going to by Himself cut the giant's head off. That was Genesis 3:15. Then you go over to 1 Samuel. David, with the sword, did that just that. What's that? That's Christ. Accomplished. The good news is Christ accomplished salvation for His people. Isaiah said He'll see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. Accomplished. What He was sent to do. said he shall not fail or even be discouraged. He shall accomplish. Salvation is accomplished. That's why any so-called gospel that has Jesus dying for everybody and some of them going to hell anyway is not the gospel. It's another gospel. It's another gospel. Men that say he tried and failed and he wants to and can't, that's not an accomplishment. That's a failure, isn't it? That's a God who cannot save. Well, here's the gospel. Here's the good news. That what God sent Christ to do, he accomplished. Those that God sent Christ to save, he saved them. Every last one of them. He can't lose. Those thou hast given me, Christ said, I've kept them. I've lost nothing. Accomplished. Oh, I love this. I love his accomplished work, don't you? Salvation. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Look at verse 32. He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. Who delivered it? Who delivered it? God did. He being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Peter preached at Pentecost. You have with wicked hands have taken and slain, but you did what God determined before to be done. This is the Christ of Scripture. This is the gospel. This is the truth. There is no other. It began with God purposing, not a plan. It doesn't say plan in the Bible. It says purpose. He said, I purposed it. I will accomplish it. I will do it. I've spoken it. I will finish it. And what did Christ say on the cross? It's finished. I'll do it. I've purposed it. I'll do it. He gave Christ a people to save before the foundation of the world. Yes, he chose them. Yes, he elected them. I'm glad he did, aren't you? If he hadn't, nobody would be saved. But everybody God chose and gave to Christ will be saved. And he gave them to Christ, the captain of their salvation, the covenant head, the second Adam come from above. Their righteousness, their Redeemer, their Savior, they're the Son of Man, but yet Son of God. And the shepherd of the sheep. And he said, I am come to give that they might have life. And those given to Christ, he lived for them, and God pleased with his righteousness and imputed that to them. And then Christ went to Calvary's tree where he was made sin for them. What does that mean? It means all the sins of all of God's people, all the iniquity of all of God's people from Adam to Zerubbabel to the last sinner whom God chose, every single sin they have, do, and will commit was laid on Christ, the iniquity of them all. And God punished every single one of their sins, like Bunyan, it was put in a tomb, cast out of God's sight, never be seen. He said, the iniquity will be sought, it won't be found. Gone. Accomplished. He accomplished salvation. He put away the sin. He didn't try to. He didn't make a down payment. He made full payment for the sins of God's people. God delivered him up. He that delivered him up for us all. Who's that us all? That's Romans 8. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified by his blood. Whom he justified, he glorified. That is, to see his glory. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who's he that condemneth? Christ died. Now he that delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things. He was delivered unto the Gentile. Read on, verse 32. He said, he shall be mocked. You know, God is not mocked. They tried, didn't they? They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They put a reed in his hand. They put a crown on his head. No one ever wore a more royal crown. No one ever wore a more majestic crown. Do you hear me? Nobody ever wore clothes more wonderful than the bloody rags that he wore on his body. Nobody! Oh, we see his majesty, don't we? We see his glory, that crown of thorns like that ram caught in the thicket. Lacerate his image, marred more than any man? No, that image is the most glorious thing you'll ever witness.
mocked? No, he's not mocked. The angels are listening and watching in amazement. God's not mocked. They tried. Not mockery. This is his greatest glory. They said, he saved others. Himself he can't save.
That's right.
See, if he be the Son of God, let him come down from the cross.
He's sin right now. He can't.
But he is coming back. He is. You're going to see. Everybody's going to see. He's not. No, he's not mocked. Men try to make a mockery of him. No. The wrath of man shall praise him. The mockery of man praised him. They spit in his face. Look at that. They said he was spitefully entreated and spit on him. That's the thing that you show your most utter detestation of somebody or something is to spit. You know, the scripture says our throats by nature are an open sepulchre, a poison of asps under them. Human beings always spit. He didn't have that in his mouth. Grace poured from his lips. The spittle of his mouth healed a blind man. And man spit in his face. Miriam one time got all lifted up, and the Lord said, I ought to treat you like your father spit in your face. Well, that's exactly how he treated his son. Now, why would he do that? Are you with me here? Do you understand the glory of they let man spit? He let them. They couldn't have done it. Why is he doing that? He didn't open his mouth. Like a sheep before a shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth. He spoke not a word. He's not going to spit in his face. They mocked him. Put a crown on him. Why?
Because that's what I deserve.
He's silent. Isn't this glorious? This is what I'm going to do. And they're going to scourge him. They're going to whip him. They're going to whip him. Cords.
Cords of love, though. Because the chastisement of our peace is laid on him. They'll scourge him. Whip him. Whip of the law. And they're going to put him to death. Who is?
God. Put him to grief. God killed his son. Christ said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. God shall put him to death. Yes, he is. Because the soul that sinneth must surely die. And his soul was made an offering. All right? But the third day, he's going to rise again. And I never get tired of it. Like when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with the blood, and they're a bunch of guilty sons of Jacob, and he went into the blood. When I see the blood, God said, pour it on the mercy seat for the transgressions of my people. Go in there and pour that blood on the mercy seat. Wear those bells and pomegranates. Go beneath the veil and put that blood on the mercy seat. And if I accept it, you'll come out alive, and the people will rejoice. Well, Christ said, I'm coming back the third day. I'm going into the Holy of Holies. Not with the blood of bulls and goat or lamb. That can't put away sin. But with his own precious blood. And pour it over the mercy seat. And make an end of transgressions. And he said, I'm coming out. And you know when he did that on the cross? Remember the veil was rent from top to bottom? And Christ 3 days later came out of that grave and said, accept it. God accepted. What? Me, on your behalf. All that I did, I accomplished it all. And now in glory, every single person is going to be singing of him that loved us, mind you, washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's what everybody in glory is singing. And it starts now. Now look at verse 34. They understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. They just
I just don't understand.
You say, why? Weren't they saved? Yes. And I think I'm going to do a message real soon on when is a man saved. But they were saved as soon as Christ came and called them. Right there. They're sure saved. When he called them, they're saved. I'm not going to give it away. That's my next message. Okay. But they didn't fully understand what he was saying to them. And we don't either, like I said. We don't either. I don't. I couldn't contain myself if I really understood what Christ has done. But I understand a little bit. We do understand that the Son of God has come and given us a little bit of understanding. We might know Him that is true, and we're in Him that's true. This is life eternal. And I'll tell you this much, why they didn't fully understand, and it was hid from them, because He's got to go to the cross. Simon Peter, remember, he took out that sword in the garden. He's going to cut everybody's head off. He's going to defend his Lord. No, they got to smite the shepherd. Christ has got to go to that cross. Nobody can stop him. All 11 of them would have tried to keep him from going to the cross. Peter did. Remember, Simon Peter? The same story. Simon Peter said, no, Lord, don't be it far from you. No, we're not. And he turns and said, get behind me, Satan. This is why Christ came. And nothing and no one can stop it. He's got to go to the cross. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Don't you see the glory of God in all that? It's no longer hid from us. All right. We'll try it again Wednesday. Come, John. Sing a hymn.